You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Our story today is around Jason Kotecki, as he wrote Penguins Can't Fly. So what was going on in his household with him about Mother Mary when he was writing Penguins Can't Fly? I think this might be a good time to find out. But the hint, here's the hint. In the book's credits, Mother Mary is at the top of the list.
Wow. Well, in his latest book, Jason writes about the stresses in daily life that sap our energy and keep us from living our best. And that's what we all want, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, in Penguins Can't Fly, Jason explores some small but mighty actions that one can take in order to turn one's life into a fun, adventurous, and exciting story, which we believe we all deserve because that's what God wants for us.
Oh, don't we hope that?
Indeed we do. Well, we want to talk to Jason and find out how Mary, the mother of Jesus, played such a large part, a noticeable part, in his and his family's life and led to this book, which tells about real-world strategies and also some very practical ideas.
Hi, Jason. We're glad that you're with us on Mary's Touch. We're expecting this to be a very light conversation.
Oh, well, sounds good. Thank you. It's good to be here, Sherry and Father Jim. Nice to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, you know how we started this? I was talking to your wife, Kim, and she was just telling me story after story of when all this was going on, how Mother Mary was working in your life. So I thought, of course, we'll want to know about Penguins Can't Fly and getting adult-itis and the role that Mother Mary played in your life. And really, you know, I was so glad that you were present to her. So you didn't miss a thing. So where would you like to begin?
Oh, I don't know. I just have to say I'm really excited. I've been doing a lot of interviews for this book, and this is one I've been really looking forward to because, unsurprisingly, this is not a topic that usually gets brought up when we're talking about this. So to be able to talk about the faith side of things and how important Mary is to us is really kind of exciting.
Okay. Well, why don't we start with, for those who don't know you, you know, who are you? What do you do in life? What's your purpose? And then let's start talking about your faith and how it affects you and your family.
Yeah. So my name is Jason. As you said, I am 39 years old, going on 12. I have a quote that I love that I heard recently that said, "The first 50 years of childhood are the hardest." We really, you know, everything that Kim and I have been based on, almost our entire relationship, we've been married for 15 years, we've been together for 20, and it's pretty much been based around the story in the Bible of Jesus and the children. And we got married about 15 years ago, and we started our company, and we have always had this mission to help people become more childlike, like Jesus asks. And we've done many things over the years. I've been a cartoonist. I've become a professional speaker. We started speaking at churches. I've done cartooning workshops, written some books. And frankly, it took us a long time to figure out a business model, a way to be able to support ourselves. And Kim was a kindergarten teacher for 5 years. We lived on her salary. We just felt, since the day we were married, that we believe that God put us together for a reason. And although we didn't know exactly what that reason was, we knew it was hopefully to accomplish some great things. And so that's been a seed of ours for a long time. Now, we expected things to bear fruit much more quickly than they did. So that required a lot of faith over the years of, like I said, living on Kim's kindergarten teacher salary and seeing things fall through. And there was just a lot of doubt and uncertainty. But eventually, you know, little by little, God would just give us the little encouragements along the way to keep us going, that we just felt deep down that we were supposed to be doing this. Even if we didn't know what the second step was, we kind of always knew what the next step was. And so, yeah, so after a while, I started speaking and started making a living doing that. So Kim was able to retire from teaching, and now we work together. And about a while ago, I don't know how long it was, probably 10 or 15 years ago, I read a book called Roaring Lambs by a guy named Bob Briner. And the concept was how, as Christians, what we should do as artists and writers and filmmakers is that we should strive to make art that is world-class, as good as anything else out there. Sometimes some of the art that gets put out is not as respected as other art. And it wasn't necessarily because of the Christian theme or whatever. It's because the art isn't that good. But the book kind of uses the idea that if you make the art as good as world-class, then that can create a platform and people will respect it, and they'll listen to what you have to say. So part of that is I looked at someone like a group like U2, who is, you know, world famous rock band, and they've done a lot of amazing things, both with the Pope and around the world, and people care because they're so famous or they have such good music. And so it's not about necessarily becoming famous. It's about getting the respect from the world. And that's kind of what we try to do it's very much like the St. Francis line of preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. And so most people who are Catholics or Christians, if they hear me speak, they can sense that my faith is not very far under the surface of what I'm talking about. But we try to be in a very accessible way, just like Jesus was, just telling stories and trying to be open and merciful and things like that. So I've kind of gone on a little sidetrack here. But yeah, just basically the whole concept is we've always been about the mission. It's taken us a while to figure out how to make a business around it, but it's definitely been an amazing journey so far, and our faith has definitely fueled it.
Well, Jason, in your work, do you find that you tend to go autobiographical, or do you reach out for things that you have observed and what you might say something that you feel is in the society, and take an issue or some theme and then try to develop it along a Christian line? Or how does your art enter into this?
That's a good question. I think for me, it's about truth, and I think good art is about truth, right? It's about unveiling a truth and looking at truth in a way that maybe people haven't seen. So that truth could be something like some disaster that happened in our family with the kids, some mess or something they did, and maybe Kim and I didn't respond in a very good way. And so what did we learn from that, right? It's about the daily life sorts of things. But it's also, I think, the truth of what Jesus was sort of getting at when he's saying that we need to become more childlike, is we needed to see the world with different eyes. I think as we get older, we get these sort of scales on our eyes, not unlike St. Paul, where we get cynical and we miss out on the everyday beauty that is around us and the everyday truths that kids just seem to naturally get. And so I think a lot of my art speaks to those things. It tends to be humorous and whimsical, but usually there's kind of an undercurrent that hopefully gets people thinking or remembering some of the things that they once knew so well as kids. And a lot of it is autobiographical. Some of it is a response to stuff I'm seeing in society. Some of it is stories that other people share with me, or ideas they give me that I meet at a speaking engagement, and they share something that is really profound. And that's one of my favorite things about what I do, is having a platform to share some of these great ideas and great examples of family life and how to connect more with your kids and with your spouse with other people.
Could you give us just a really good example of one thing that you're talking about? I mean, one, you talked about seeing the world through the eyes of the child, but can you give me a concrete example?
Let me see. Okay, so here's a good one. So my daughter, we live in Madison. We like to walk along the lakes. And about a year ago, she was wearing a princess dress. It was her Halloween costume from the year before. And she was kind of walking along the shore. And I noticed that the water was kind of spraying up on her dress. And I considered, you know, telling her, you know, be careful, I don't want you to ruin your dress. So I got my attention was then stolen by one of my other kids. I turned back to Lucy, and at this point, she was up to her armpits in this dress in the lake. And I'm kind of stunned. You're in the lake in your princess dress. I didn't know what to do. And it occurred to me as I watched her and the smile on her face that she was living life as well as it could possibly be lived at that moment. And I thought about that a lot afterwards. And I thought, you know what? God gives us like opportunities every day to jump in with both feet into what he has for us. And we don't, because we're afraid of what I say is getting our princess dress wet. And our princess dress is sort of the carefully curated version of ourselves that we present to everyone else. It's how we dress. It's how we look. It's what we say. It's where we live. It's what boards we serve on and what extracurricular activities our kids are involved in. And that's the sort of thing that we miss out on some of God's best gifts because we are afraid of, like I said, getting our princess dress wet. So that's kind of an example of, I think, kids show us how we should live life with the sort of reckless, joyful abandon that I think we could learn from.
Well, there are many times in life when we certainly do need to look, you know, beyond ourselves, especially because we can get bordered on all sides, north, south, east, west, by ourselves, and then we never have any adventure.
Right.
I hate to compare anybody with another, but you keep talking about these things that keep reminding me of the Peanuts comic strip and Charles Schulz. And I have this vision of Charlie Brown time after time after time trying to kick that football. And every single time he runs up there and he swings his leg, and of course he lands on his back because Lucy moves the football. And yet here comes Charlie Brown back again. And then all of those other characters in there from Snoopy the dog, who really is a philosopher, we know, and all of those other people, Pigpen, whoever it might be. Do you have characters that you invent in your artwork?
The character that's on the cover of my book, this penguin, my wife kind of asked me a little bit about, like, so what's his story? What's his background? And I kind of have a little backstory. His name is Marty. And the idea is he's flying along on this balloon, right? And it's like the idea is like penguins can't fly. And then there's these penguins under him. And they kind of represent, you know, different, they might be naysayers. They might be people who are too afraid to go for something. They might be people who are, you know, actively trying to tell him he can't do this. Maybe there are people who also want to fly and they're just kind of watching someone else do it and working up the courage. And so there's sort of, you know, some metaphors there. And it's interesting to think that I suppose at certain times at our lives where we play each of those roles, right? Sometimes we're the one who are just jumping off the cliff and we're going for it. Sometimes we're maybe, hopefully not, but sometimes we're discouraging other people from doing something that might be what God wants them to do. And so, yeah, so I think it's kind of fun to be able to play with themes like that, like Charles Schulz did, that are very simple but can speak to some bigger truths like that.
Well, I tell you what, Jason, I want to hear more. We haven't even talked about Mother Mary yet, so let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back to hear the rest of Jason Kotecki's story. And I'm wondering, can penguins fly? We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. We've been broadcasting Mary's Touch for 9 years now. Each and every year, we've won a special award, from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there, marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening every week to Mary's Touch. Welcome back. We're visiting with Jason Kotecki, author of Penguins Can't Fly, and what's in his book that will help us live a happier life. Jason also wants to tell us about Mother Mary's influence in his life and that of his family. So let's get back with Jason. So, Jason, tell me, what does this have to do with Mother Mary? I know you said that during your career you were expecting to bear fruit a little more quickly than you did, and you needed faith for that. But tell us particularly about Mother Mary in your life.
Well, so about, a little over 2 years ago, some friends of ours brought Kim and I this book called 33 Days to Morning Glory, which is sort of a do-it-yourself guide to preparing yourself for Marian consecration. I had never heard of Marian consecration before. You know, I appreciated Mary and you know, was a big fan, but I was like, I don't know, what is this? Is there altars involved? Is there sacrifices involved? What's going on here? And we the four of us went through this book together, and as it turned out, the feast day that we officially did the consecration was on my birthday. It's February 11th. And we, you know, basically asked, I asked Mary officially, like, will you be on my team? Will you help me out? Because my heart, like I said, has always been about helping others and getting, spreading joy to people. And so we did that. And shortly after that, we found out that Kim was pregnant with our third child, who was unexpected, but was a blessing. And when she was born, we named her Virginia Rose, which was not only our paternal grandmother's first names, but obviously very Marian names, with the Virgin and Rose being associated. So it was really kind of interesting that it felt like as soon as we consecrated ourselves to Mary, things started to happen. So Kim got pregnant. About a month later, all of a sudden, a book agent came out of the woodwork to basically ask if she could represent us. And so we got this deal with a major New York publisher that we never would have gotten on our own. We weren't necessarily looking for it. I have a lot of friends who have gone through so many motions trying to figure out how to get a book deal. And here one kind of comes in our lap. And it just so happened that the agent I met, we happened to be in the month of May, of Mary's month. And it was an exactly a year later in May when the book deal finally signed. We got associated with this publisher, St. Martin's Press. And as it turned out, the editor that I worked with that has been a big champion for this book, her name is Rose. So we're like, okay, this is kind of weird, you know? So I think right when we signed the book deal, Kim and I decided that what our goal was is we wanted it to make this book on the New York Times bestseller list. And there are a lot of strategies that you have to employ differently than if you're just trying to get the book out there in general. And most of them require that you end up making less money than you otherwise would have. And it's sort of a weird process of no one really knows exactly how you get on it. It doesn't necessarily just measure sales. And so we decided we're going to go for it. This is a chance. But we have no idea how we're going to do this ourselves. So we decided we need someone who could. And so we decided that day, it was Father's Day a year ago, to say a rosary every single day and give this project up to Mary. Part of that was dedicating the book to her. So yeah, the dedication is just says for Mary on the inside of the book. And we've been doing this for a year now. And the book just recently came out. And but the interesting part of the story is I knew this interview was coming up. I didn't know exactly where the story would turn, but we found out just recently the status of the first week of whether or not we made the New York Times list. And I'm going to throw this out to you guys. What do you think happened?
Well, if Mother Mary's involved for the glory of her son Jesus, I'm going to say that you're on the list.
What do you think, Father Jim?
Well, you know, I'm just looking at all of these different things here, and some of these images always pop into my mind. And you were talking about Marty the Penguin flying with the help of a balloon, and I immediately also saw Pooh, who took a bunch of balloons, and he was floating, and he was on his way looking for honey because he loved honey. And honey is sort of an adventure, isn't it? It's, you know, seeking something, and you're seeking, you're going along, and there you are. And you said there's a lot more involved. Well, when all of a sudden Pooh hit the source of the honey, he encountered a bee's nest. And it wasn't so much fun. So I'm anxious to hear what your bee's nest was all about.
That's a good metaphor. I love that. So, yeah, so all along, I mean, we've had so many signs that Mary is with us, and she's been, we could have a whole other show talking about all these little signs. Well, we just found out that we missed the list. We missed the list for this first launch week, which was our biggest push and probably the best chance that we had to orchestrate this sort of thing. And Kim and I were talking about this, and we're like, you know what, this is actually a really cool thing to talk about, because we all have those moments, right, where we pray and we pray and we pray and we believe and we trust, and things don't go the way we hope they would. And the question is, what do you do then? Do you get all mad and upset, or do you respond in faith? And I think what Kim and I have done, and this is so recent, I mean, we just found this out, like, I still believe that Mary is behind this book. Good things are already happening with this book. Good things are going to happen with this book. And although we did not make the list yet, I'm sticking with it. Like, I have too much faith. There's something bigger going on here. And we're continuing to say the rosary every day. And, you know, as much as we want to be on the list, really it's about creating joy in the world, getting people to see what God is doing. And I think that's where we're at right now. So I think this book has some real magic behind it, not because of anything I have done, but because we've dedicated this book to her. And Kim and I have often talked about recently the five loaves and two fishes, that we feel that what we've brought to the table is five loaves and two fishes. And although it's all we have, it's not enough. And so everything we put into this launch at this point is everything we've had. We've stayed up late. We've worked hard. We've done everything we can, and it wasn't enough. However, we still believe that God is behind this, Mary's behind this, and that somehow, I don't know if it'll be next week, a month from now, a year from now, Jesus is going to take these, and he's going to multiply these five loaves and fishes, and we're just excited about what's next. It's like, yeah, we were disappointed, and we're frustrated, but I think that's the part that everybody can relate to, is when you pray really hard for something and it doesn't go the way you want it.
Well, we have to remember, Jason, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy will be done." And then we get angry when it's my will that's not being done.
And, that is exactly right.
So the first distinction is between the word "thy" and "my."
Yep. And that's taken a lot of solace in Jesus' prayer in the garden, that he prayed to the point of blood, right? Sweat that turned into blood, that he would not be crucified, and he was still crucified. So that's been our whole last couple of weeks, is not our will, but your will, and being willing to accept whatever happens. And I think that's what faith is all about. So hopefully we can have a talk in a year and there'll be even more to the story. It's kind of a to be continued. But like my wife said, if you don't have a to be continued in your life once in a while, you're not stretching. You're not putting enough faith in, because if it's a foregone conclusion, where does God need to be in that? You know, he's not in that. So,
well, you know, I'm just thinking about your Marty penguin, and although penguins can't fly, there are flying fish. Penguins love fish, and I'm just wondering, does Marty come up on a flying fish?
That could be. That'll be the sequel.
Okay.
There you go. I think, too, that it's easy to fall into that. We want this to bear fruit quickly.
Yes.
And we so limit God when we decide what it's supposed to look like, because it's happened over and over again where something didn't happen the way I thought I was hoping it would. But in fact, it turned out even better. That, you know, when we think of something, we are limiting ourselves and not letting God make the picture bigger, make the project bigger. So I think when We want something to bear fruit, and we want it, quote, our way, that we are not only limiting ourselves, but we have to remember God has such a big plan for us, for everyone.
And our plans are so small and so limited. And remember that little saying, life is what happens while you're making plans?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
I think there's that line of, like, thank God for unanswered prayers. I can look at back my life of stuff that I really prayed hard for and really wanted. And I think now, like, boy, if that would have come true, this and this and this wouldn't have happened. And this is way better than what I could have even imagined.
That's right. That's right. That's one of Garth Brooks' best lines in his songs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think that as we look at this thing, you call it adultitis. How do we, what's the cure for adultitis?
Adultitis is getting back to that ultimate core of what Jesus said. We need to be more childlike. From a medical standpoint, adultitis literally means swelling of the adult. And I love that because it means you have too much adult. And sometimes we have to have that childlike faith, that childlike joy, that childlike ability to delight in little things and be curious. And I think those are some of the elements that Jesus was kind of hinting at when he said we needed to be more childlike. And and so that's ultimately, that is the cure to adultitis. And adultitis is kind of it's an invention we made up, but it's been really neat because I speak in a lot of secular settings. And if you're paying attention, you could really substitute adultitis for the devil in many instances. It's kind of a secular way to talk about it, but in a lot of ways, and I didn't even do this on purpose, but the more I talk about adultitis, the more I realize it's really a sort of a code word for the enemy. And it's like, it's that life that is less than, you know, Jesus said, like, I came that they would have life and life abundantly. And that's it's really the opposite of what adultitis is all about.
You know, we have to wrap up, but I want to remind everyone to go out and buy the book, Penguins Can't Fly, and let's get that on the New York bestseller list. And Jason, I want to thank you so much for being with us and sharing something different, and thank you for that. And then I want to remind everyone to send their prayer requests to marystouch.org. because we take our requests to our Adoration Chapel and pray for each individual request. We will add your request to our list, Jason. Thank you for being with us. And I know Father always ends in a great blessing, so we'll let him do that now.
Well, Sherry, Jesus said, do you not know that the kingdom of God is within you? And since we know that the kingdom of God is everywhere at all times, let us enter into that kingdom. And within that kingdom, let us ask God's blessing upon each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her Son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.